Thanks for spending time with us on The Green this week. I'm Tom Byrne. Last week, we took you to the University of Delaware to highlight work created by students there. This week, we return to Newark to hear from more student voices at UD, telling stories about issues and topics they find interesting and important. These pieces were produced by UD Communications students for a class taught by Nancy Karabjanian, longtime First Aid journalist, director of UD's Center for Political Communication, and one of the founders of Delaware Public Media. We start with Emma Scholes. The junior communications major suggests that when you think of living in a hotel, you might think of relaxing spas, breakfast buffets, room service, or even a beautiful view. But that's not what came to mind for a group of UD students when they were told just weeks before returning to campus they would be living in hotels.
The lobby of the Spring Hill Suites Hotel in downtown Newark looks clean, with white panels and a modern-day vibe. The hotel expects to see an influx of guests during Parents' Weekend and Homecoming, but not the first few weeks of the fall semester.
But then, like, a week or two before we moved in, they were like, actually, it won't be done until September. So we had no backup plan because we were really planning on moving in by, like, the 21st, the latest.
That was Sabrina Lopez, a junior at UD who planned on living in an off-campus townhouse. But her soon-to-be home was still under construction well into the summer.
So, like, we were driving one day and we're like, they didn't do, like, the roof. They didn't do this. They didn't do that. Like, it's not even built yet. So we were, like, freaking out, but they didn't say anything to us.
Sabrina, along with 12 other UD students, received an email in early August bearing the news that the Spring Hill Suites would be their home for the first part of the semester. Sophomore Elizabeth Molinaro was also one of those 12.
It was great the first couple of weeks, the first week or two, because we got our beds made, we had free breakfast, but then it started getting hard when the workload, like, you know, picked up.
Both Elizabeth and Sabrina were placed in hotel rooms with two other girls. The rooms included two beds, a couch, and only one light.
Like, we all had to go to bed at the same time. One person had, like, 8 a.m., so she woke up at 6, and the other person in class at 3:30, so she would try to wake up, like 10, but someone trying to get ready, like, literally right next to you.
But this was not the only struggle. The hotel is about a 30-minute walk from campus. For students not willing to make the hour-long round trip, food and rest between classes also became a problem. In addition to being unable to return to the hotel during the day, the hotel rooms were only equipped with a microwave, making eating out the only option. Privacy was also limited, which made returning to the hotel at the end of the day even more undesirable.
We had no privacy, so like if someone was like in a bad mood or trying to do work, it was a mess.
Living in the hotel did come with a few benefits, like continental breakfast and coming home to a made bed. The real bonus, though, were the friendships formed along the way.
We did make friends with the hotel people. They were really, really great. Like, we had Phyllis. She worked the front desk. She was awesome. She was the sweetest person. Like, every time we walked in, she had, like, a smile. She was like, good morning, ladies. And we went out. She was like, are you guys going out? Like, have fun. Like, she was so sweet.
And front desk associate Phyllis Smith-Tiller feels the same about her student guests.
I was elated to have them. To me, it was a great experience to have those young girls here.
The girls were finally able to move into their townhouses after more than 2 months of living in the hotel. For them, it wasn't an ideal way to start the semester, but clearly a memorable experience. I'm Emma Scholes.
Thanks to UT junior Emma Scholes. Next up is junior communications major Delaney Tatitsa, who tells us while swing dance may date back to the roaring 20s, it still comes alive weekly at UD.
5, 6, 5, 6, 7, right, left.
Counting the beat and doing the Lindy Hop, the Delaware Swing Club dances into action every Friday night in Perkins. Kate Holden, president of the club, takes charge.
So we specifically do Lindy Hop, which started in Harlem in the 1920s, and that's what we focus on as a club. It's an improvisational dance primarily. It was born out of the social dance floor and very much born out of people messing around on the dance floor and seeing what happened.
The club consists of around 80 members and continues to grow. Since it's open to the public, new members are constantly showing up to practice, eager to learn some new moves.
Step, touch, back, up.
Connor Trainer, treasurer of the Swing Club, gushes about why he's been a member for over a year now.
We're such a close, tight-knit community, and we're all, like, really nice and, like, open and caring about each other. So that's pretty much the reason why I've stayed so long.
On Sundays from 1:30 to 4:30, and Wednesdays from 9 to 11, the Swing Club holds workshops where general swing dance moves are taught to those who attend. Although this style of dance is primarily improvisation, The club's goal is to give everyone an idea of what types of steps to take, so they can lead and follow with their partner or the rest of the group.
Anyone can do this dance. Like I said, I joined because I was a terrible dancer, and we teach you everything you need to know. And just come out and you have a great time, and it's wonderful.
This is Delaney Detita.
Thanks to junior comm major Delaney Detita. And we stick with the musical theme with junior comm major Rachel Stamberg, who delved into the world of a cappella at UD, telling us students involved in the Crescendos work to balance their hectic schedules with their love for music and the fellowship it can create.
One, two, three, four.
That's the Crescendos, one of the University of Delaware's 8 a cappella groups rehearsing. The group's members put a lot of time and effort into the group, resulting in friendships and fun, but requiring a lot of hard work. However, the impact of the group goes beyond the music. Kiki Foster, a current senior at UD, would not have been a music major if it weren't for Crescendo.
I didn't start out a music major, but then after I was seeing all this time I was devoting to Crescendo and how it was kind of what I was happiest and best at doing, it kind of led me to my major, so I kind of accredit that to my time here.
For Kiki, a cappella was something she always knew she wanted to do.
Well, I've been doing a cappella since freshman year of high school, and so I wanted to continue that in college, like at the higher level, because I saw like the potential of a cappella and how really unique it could be.
Being in any a cappella group is time consuming, and being in one as a student can be very difficult, but these students are making it work.
If you love something, then you're going to make it work. And I think that's kind of the case for everybody, but I know that it does get hard sometimes.
That's John Quigley, Crescendo's music director. For him, his a cappella group is more than just a place to sing.
It's also helped me be able to communicate with people and know how to, like, read people.
For John, being a part of Crescendo taught him how to lead, giving him the confidence to be music director. But beyond leadership, being a part of this group, rehearsing 3 times a week, creates a bond, something Dominique Ceretti feels makes it all worth it.
We really all believe that our group is kind of a family, and so if we're not in rehearsal, we're hanging out together, or we're talking, or like, there's literally no point in time where I'm not like somehow like in contact with someone in Crescendo.
I'm Rachel Stamberg.
Thanks to junior Rachel Stamberg. And we wrap things up with senior communications major Jessica Cooper. She reports that when students seek to teach after college, the most common path includes earning a master's in education. But she found for some, Teach for America puts a new spin on becoming an educator.
Elementary students load their backpacks with homework assignments and lunch leftovers. It's the end of the school day. The student teachers there are taking the standard route to the classroom, a degree and a master's in education. But that's not the only path. Teach for America coordinator Amelia Ablemeyer at the University of Delaware wants UD students to try the Teach for America way.
Teach for America is an organization that strives to overcome educational inequity by enlisting, developing, and mobilizing as many as possible of the United States' top leaders across the country. And effectively strengthen the movement for educational equity and excellence. And Teach for America employs leaders from these universities to serve 2 years in disadvantaged areas and teach and really improve the overall system of our education.
Amelia recruited her roommate, Ruby Snyderman, who became a core member for Teach for America after seeing Amelia's passion, which resonated with her and inspired her to apply.
Core member is a teacher on the Teach for America team that is selected from a top university. They have the leadership experience and drive to help overcome our country's educational inequity.
Back in the classroom, Emily Fisher, a student teacher from UD, is on the traditional path.
I'm a student teacher, so my job is to assist around the classroom, and throughout the semester, we're teaching different lessons and eventually teaching every lesson every day for 2 weeks for our lead week. We've got to see all different types of schools, whether that's low income or higher education or different grade levels. So I think they've prepared us a lot, but I think going through student teaching really teaches us what it's going to be like in the future.
The main difference, your major. Teach for America accepts students of all majors and gives you after college plans that we all dread of finding. As a human services major, that works just fine for Ruby.
After my 2 years as a core member, I want to be a school guidance counselor. And Teach for America will give me a lot of experience of being in a school and learning the different dynamics and how things work and really getting a feel for different types of kids and how to interact with them.
For Amelia, she will be attending the University of Pennsylvania post-grad to gain her master's and work at a school in Philly for Teach for America.
I'm going to be receiving a full salary and same benefits as a teacher normally would, as well as get support from Teach for America professionals and peers that are going through the same experience as me as well.
In 2016, Teach for America employed 16 students to dedicate their post-grad towards solving the problem of education inequity. I'm Jessica Cooper.
Thanks to UD senior Jessica Cooper, as well as juniors Emma Scholes, Delaney DeTita, and Rachel Stamberg, for offering us a glimpse into student life at the University of Delaware.